The Clinton camp came up with a slogan to focus their campaign on the issue they felt they could win with. For use around their campaign headquarters, they produced banners and posters emblazoned with, "It's the economy, stupid." It worked. The Clinton camp relentlessly hammered the economic issue and beat Bush. On this, the celebration of the Reformation of the Christian Church, confessional Lutherans can do a similar thing. We can crystallize what the Reformation was all about by making banners and posters with the simple slogan, "It's the gospel, stupid." This statement highlights for us the difference between confessional Lutherans, Catholics, and even other Protestants is nothing less than the gospel. This slogan can be a necessary corrective so Satan's never-ending campaign to make the difference be about life be done with. How easy it is to fall into that trap. It's easy to believe that the difference between confessional Lutherans and other Christians comes down to who lives the better Christian life. It doesn't. But with not much digging, we can dig up a lot of dirt in the lives of other Christians. We can dig up the fact that the Pope of Luther's day was well known for immorality, gluttony, and greed. We can dig up the fornicating and baby killing that went on in medieval monasteries and nunneries. And without much digging at all, we can point to the wretched lives of in the Catholic community today. We can name priests, bishops, and cardinals convicted of pornography, child molesting, or homosexuality. And we won't have much trouble at all digging in the lives of Protestants, will we? We can point our shovels at the immoral global evangelist Ravi Zacharias, or we can digitally dig in the Southern Baptist Convention and find their covering up of sexual misconduct over years. See, it seems like we confessional Lutherans will win if we get into a dirt-digging contest with other Christians. But what about our dirt? What do we find buried underneath even confessional Lutheran churches? Not just dirt, but bones, filthy, disgusting skeletons. Do I really have to go into this? Do I need to dig up the actual skeletons that are in our closet? You can name priests exposed as pedophiles. I can name confessional Lutheran seminary professors. You can name Catholic priests removed for being homosexuals. And I can name several confessional Lutheran pastors that way too. You can name charismatic preachers defrocked for adultery. I can name at least one confessional Lutheran pastor defrocked for adultery and murder. You can name Catholic and Protestant laymen who are poor excuses for Christians. I can find them in any confessional Lutheran church. You can name greedy, gluttonous clergymen. I can look in the mirror. See what happens? If we give in to the temptation of Satan and make the differences among Christians to be their lives, it leads to one of two places, neither of which is God. It leads either to pride or to despair. We're prideful when we conclude our life is more Christian than others. We don't gamble, we don't curse, we don't drink as much as those Catholics do. And we're not hypocritical like those Baptists who drink, those charismatics who smoke, or those Methodists who gamble. Can't you hear the Pharisee in the temple praying, "Dear Lord, I thank you that I'm not like those Catholics or other Protestants. I don't have repetitious prayers like those Catholics, and I don't babble on and on like those charismatics. I don't gamble as much as the Catholics, but I don't feel bad about it when I do like the Baptists." I tell you, such a confessional Lutheran does not go down to his house justified. Weighing the lives of Christians or clergy to determine the difference between churches, that only leads to pride or to despair. How many confessional Lutherans have despaired because we're not as enthusiastic as Christians are, as charismatics are? And hasn't every confessional Lutheran pastor had it pointed out to him that those Baptists, they all carry their Bibles to church? And you watch the Vatican Christmas Eve midnight mass, and you tell me that doesn't look like the Holy Christian Church. Satan wins when we convince when he convinces us to evaluate churches based on the lives of its clergy or members. Where was the difference between Cain and Abel? Both brought sacrifices to God. Abel didn't bring better or bigger than Cain did. Where was the difference between Saul and David? It certainly wasn't in life. Both sinned grievously. In fact, David probably sinned more. Or how about Judas and Peter? Both men betrayed Christ after being warned not to. Both were sorry after they sinned. The difference between them and us and other Christian groups is the same. It's the gospel. When we fall for Satan's lies and start debating the relative holiness of life among Catholics, confessional Lutherans, and Protestants, Satan succeeds in doing what he really wants to: draw us away from the gospel. Luther stressed this point himself. Quote, life is as evil among us as among the papists, Catholics. Thus, we do not argue about life, but about doctrine. Whereas previous reformers, Wycliffe and Huss, attacked the immoral lifestyle of the papacy, I challenge primarily its doctrine. But not Catholic doctrine in general did Luther challenge. It was specifically their understanding of the gospel, their understanding of how sinful man can be saved by a holy God. Look at our confessional Lutheran doctrinal writings. Continually, they state, we reject such and such teaching because it is in conflict with the chief article, which is the gospel. The confessional Lutherans even go so far as to say that they would tolerate the Pope's authority if he simply would permit the gospel to be preached. There's the rub. Roman Catholicism compromises the gospel in the way they understand Mass or communion. In Catholic doctrine, the Mass is something that you do for God. You come to meet a God who is angry with you for your sins of the last week. The priest re-sacrifices Christ in an unbloody manner on your church altar to atone for your sins right then and there. All through Catholic doctrine, the sinner must do something so that God isn't angry with him. You do penance after confessing and being absolved for your sin, so that you might show your sincere repentance, that your repentance is sincere. You call upon Mary or the saints because they have more good works than you do, and so God does hear them. At death, you go to purgatory to be purified by fire from all the wickedness still left in you. In Catholicism, sinners must do something to offset their sinfulness. But how do they ever know if they've done enough? How do they know when they have been to Mass enough, done enough penance, good works, or Hail Marys to be certain they'll go to heaven? To Luther, that was the worst thing about Catholicism, not the wicked lives of priests or people, but what he called the monster of uncertainty and the gospel of doubt. It's the gospel, stupid. That's the difference between Roman Catholicism and confessional Lutheranism. And as hard as it will be for you to believe, the gospel is the difference between us and other Protestants. There are many different forms of Protestantism, but they all, in some manner, take away from the gospel. In some form or fashion, Protestantism teaches that God does not put away his wrath towards you until you do something. You must choose to follow Jesus, and then God will love you. You believe first, and then for faith's sake, Christ puts away his anger towards you. You must repent, and then God will forgive you. You must worship God joyously, and then he'll be happy with you. This understanding of the gospel strikes very close to home, and that's why we confessional Lutherans are easily tempted by Protestant doctrines. We stumble sometimes over baptizing our babies because it makes sense that God should only want to baptize someone who has asked him to come into their life first. We stumble over Christ placing his body and blood on our altar because that would mean anybody at all who ate and drank of it would actually receive it. It makes more sense to believe, as the Protestants do, that only those who have faith in Christ to ascend to faith, enough faith to ascend to Christ in heaven, only they receive his body and blood. And it makes sense that we should worship so as to generate real emotion, so we can feel lifted up from this sinful world into the high realms of holiness where God dwells. And it makes sense, as the Calvinism preaches, if God chose just some in eternity for salvation, those he didn't so choose, he chose for damning. Protestant doctrines, they're very alluring to us. That's why we need to be reminded it's the gospel. The reason the Reformers would have no fellowship with the Catholic or the Protestant churches was the gospel. The gospel is that God, for Christ's sake, is not angry with the world. His laws that we never keep perfectly were kept perfectly by Christ in our place. Our sins that deserve temporal, right now, punishment and eternal punishment have been paid for by Christ's holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. The gospel is that God justifies ungodly sinners. He doesn't wait till they're more or less godly in life and then pronounce them forgiven. The gospel is that while we are still blind, dead, enemies of God, Christ died for sinners and reconciled the whole world, not some, but all the world to God. It's no gospel to say you must do something and then God will be pleased with you. The gospel is that God so loved the world, the whole rotten, sinful world, that he gave up his only son in his place. The gospel is that God put the sins of the entire world on Christ thousands of years before anyone believed, repented, worshiped, or decided to follow Jesus. God doesn't wait to be invited to forgive sins. God doesn't wait till a baby is old enough to decide to follow Jesus to forgive its sins. No, by means of water and the word, the washing of regeneration, God clothes little babies in the robes of Christ and calls them his dear sons and daughters. In I don't commune to make God not angry with me, and make God not angry with me, I commune because the gospel promises me that God isn't angry. Communion isn't me doing something for God. It's God coming down in flesh and blood to this fallen world where I live to assure me that though I'm a poor, miserable sinner, I am right this moment in the same church as angels, as archangels, and as all the company of heaven. Confessional Lutherans historically have had divine services, not worship services. We don't gather to give worth to God, that is, worship or worship. We gather so divinity can serve us, divine service. God doesn't seek to get something from you on Sundays, whether it be faith, repentance, worship, good works, or money. God seeks to give you something, the gospel. The gospel is all gift. He seeks to give you heavenly things by means of ordinary earthly things. Through the mouth of an earthly pastor, he pronounces heaven's forgiveness on all who hear him. Through earthly water, he gives heavenly life to all the baptized. Through earthly bread and wine, he gives his body and blood for sinners, even though holy angels can't eat of it. It's the gospel, stupid. That's what the first president of the Missouri Synod said over 100 years ago. Quote, "This is what is missing in all other churches. They do not believe that redemption has been completely bestowed as a gift on all men. Our Catholic and Protestant brothers and sisters in Christ are told they must do something to finish things between God and them. Confessional Lutherans for 406 years now have been saying what Christ did on the cross. He said, it is finished. That is not at all stupid. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.